From the Word of God, Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of Him went out through all the surrounding region. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then He closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on Him. And He began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to Him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" He said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do here in your country." And He said, "Surely I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months. And there was a great famine throughout the land, but to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." So all those in the synagogue, when they had heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust Him out of the city, and they led Him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw Him down the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, He went His way. This is the Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. When is the good news not good news? We find today in this account by Luke a group of people who had come together to worship and who in that setting heard what they did not like, what they did not want to hear. And for them, the good news was not good news. Now, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He has just come out of the wilderness. If you read the verses before in Luke chapter 4, He has just come out of the wilderness where He's been alone for 40 days and 40 nights, having neither eaten nor drunk, and having been tested and tried by the devil. 3 specific temptations. And after that, after He has been victorious in this setting, He comes out and begins His public ministry. Mark tells us that He was in Capernaum before He comes into Nazareth. And as he comes into his hometown, he is famous. He's famous because of the miracles that he's done, because of the teaching that he has done. And the people there in Nazareth refer to this when they say, "Do hear what we've heard done in Capernaum." And in this setting, they gather. Now, the people are really not interested in joining themselves to Jesus. They want something from him. They're desperately poor. They're hungry. They're unemployed. And they don't really care about him as long as he takes care of their needs. And so now he comes into Nazareth. Luke says where he was brought up, where everybody knows him, where after he makes a comment, they say, "Isn't that Joseph's son?" And Mark records that they said, and his brothers, and they names three brothers, and his sisters, "We know him. We saw him as a youngster. We saw him as a teenager. We saw him as he was learning the craft of carpentry from Joseph. We know him." And he's brought up there. And he comes into the synagogue. And as the hometown boy comes back in, they ask him to speak. I remember when Bonnie and I were first married and living in Hagerstown, Maryland, about 2 hours away from Oakland and from Lachlan, where I was born and raised. Every time we would go back home and go to Sunday school, the Sunday school teacher of the class that we always attended would say, "David, would you teach today?" And I smile at that recollection because it puts me in mind of this story. The hometown boy comes back and they said to him, "Here's the book of the scroll of Isaiah. You teach us today." And Jesus took the scroll and he opens it. It's clear that he's looking for a particular passage of Scripture. And he goes through the book until he finds this passage that we read and that he quoted to them that day. He found the place. He deliberately looked for that spot. When he found that spot, he stopped. He handed the book back to the attendant and sat down. Now today, when I speak to you, I stand up. And that day when the teacher spoke, he sat down. And he says, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What does Jesus say to him? What are those incredible words that he speaks? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And this scripture is fulfilled today in your hearing. What's Jesus saying? Very clearly, very plainly, without any equivocation at all, he's saying, "I am the Messiah. I am the one sent by God. And you've heard it, and it's fulfilled in your midst." And Luke says they were not offended. No charges of blasphemy were brought. Luke says, so all bore witness. That's like saying, "Amen." He reads those words. He says, "It's fulfilled in your midst." And they say, "That's right. Amen. We agree with that." They all bore witness. in a very straightforward sense, they confirmed what Jesus said. We agree. We accept that. And then Jesus goes off in a direction in which they had never expected to hear that morning as they came into the synagogue. They don't know what he's going to say, but what he says they never expected. And as Jesus gives this preamble to his ministry, he indicates the direction that ministry is going to take. The scripture that he quoted from Isaiah refers to a particular occasion in Jewish society and Jewish history. It's called the Year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, there would be a complete turnover of the way things had been to the reestablishment of the way they should have been. Now, what this means is, in the 50th year, you were not to farm the land, it was to rest and be renewed. And debts were forgiven in that 50th year. If you owed a debt to any of your neighbors, whatever the debt was, whatever it was for, however much it was, it was forgiven. If you had given yourself in service to pay that debt, the debt was marked paid in full and you were set free. You were no longer in servitude. You were no longer in that debt poverty because of what you had owed. If you had sold your land to pay your debt, the land was given back to you. No matter who you sold it to, no matter what they paid for it, no matter what they were doing with it now, the title to the land is given back to you. It's returned to its original owners, and everyone was back to square one. Now, this is something they knew, something they understood. And then Jesus says, "You're going to tell me a proverb, a familiar saying. Physician, heal yourself," meaning do for us what we've heard you do other places. He's told them everything is going to reset. Everything is going to restart. We're going back to square one. And he says, "I know what you want. I know what you want me to do. You want a miracle. Instead, I'm going to give you an Old Testament lesson that would have gone back to the days of Isaiah the prophet." Now, here this morning, we're on familiar grounds because the first lesson Jesus gives them, we talked about the last time we were together. That widow woman in Zarephath, in Elijah's, under the influence of Elijah's ministry, in Jezebel's hometown. And how that he had come in, he asked her for a cup of water, she gives him a cup of water, he asked her for a little cake, she says, "Sir, you don't understand, I have enough meal to make one small cake for my son and I, enough oil to mix it together. I picked up two sticks. That's all the fire I'm going to need to make this little bitty cake. We're going to eat it and die. That's all we have." And Elijah says, "Make it for me first. And the barrel of meal will never run out. The cruse of oil will never run dry." And she did. And over the next months and years, as Elijah was with her, there was always food in her house. Never was there a need. And Jesus says, there were many widows in Israel, but Elijah only went to that one. Then he says, you remember the prophet Elisha, the one who was the successor to Elijah, the one who began the ministry or picked up the ministry after Elijah was taken up into heaven in a chariot of fire. There were many lepers in that day. Many lepers in the land of Israel. But only one of them was healed by Elijah. And that was a foreigner. A man by the name of Naaman, who was the key servant to the king of the foreign ruler. He's the only one that was healed. A little servant girl who had been captured in battle told him, there's a prophet in the land of God's people. I just wish you could go see him, because if you did, you'd be healed. And he said, well, that seems strange, but I'm going to give it a try, because I'm banned and banished because of my leprosy. And he gathers up some clothes and he gathers up some money and he takes them to give them as a gift to the prophet Elisha. And Elisha says, I don't want any of that. Go over here to the river and dunk 7 times. And when you come up the 7th time, you'll be cleaned of your leprosy. And Naaman stands there in a pout and says, there are better rivers than that back home. And I've come all this way, and I've offered him a gift, and he snubs my gift, and he tells me to go dip myself in this ugly, dirty river. And the little servant girl says, if he told you to do a big thing, you'd have done it. He's told you to do a small thing, and you're too big to do it. And rebuked by her, he went down and dipped himself in the river. Comes up 1 time. Leprous. 2 times. Leprous. 3 times. Leprous. 4 times. 5 times. 6 times. And the 7th time he comes up out of the water, his skin is pure and whole like a baby's. And Jesus said there were lepers all over Israel, and the only leper that Elisha healed was this foreigner. And their response, according to Luke, they were filled with wrath. The original language which Luke wrote says they were out of their minds with anger. And they took Jesus to the top of the hill that the city was built on with the intention of pushing him over the cliff and murdering him because of that. What's going on here? Here he reads, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me. And then he says, do you remember those 2 instances, the widow woman over in the foreign country and the leper over in the foreign country? And all at once the amens aren't heard anymore. And they had the intent of killing him. What's going on? What Jesus had just said was, and what they understood completely was, the gospel that God has sent me to preach is not confined to Israel. It is for everyone. And they were enraged. They were beside themselves with anger. They'd lost total control of themselves because they were so angry. Why? Because Jesus said the gospel, the good news, is not just for our group, but for everyone. It's not confined to the Jews. It's for outsiders. And Jesus has reached out with healing to all the people. And that was not what first century Jews expected. It was not what they wanted. And when he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, they were victims of the unjust structures of society. They were powerless, vulnerable, insignificant, exploited, economically deprived and oppressed. Over and over, Jesus ministers to the poor. That was 95% of the population in that day. But they were filled with heart hate when he said, God has sent me to all the poor, not just the Jewish poor. And they crucified him in their hearts right there because he said, God loves outsiders as much as he loves us on the inside. So they take him to the top of the hill with the intent of murder in their hearts. And Luke says in verse 30, then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. It's a profound statement of Jesus' control. They thought they were in control. But it's like when he passes through their midst, they don't even recognize him. They don't realize who they've taken out there. And he just walks away, totally in control. And today Jesus speaks to us. And I've gone a long way to remind you, Christians, my brothers, my sisters, of something that you already know, so that you can rejoice in it again. Jesus speaks to us, and he says to us what he said to the people in Nazareth so long ago. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus says. I am God's word of promise to you. I fulfill the promises of Scripture for you. I have come to set you free from all that oppresses you. I have come to set you free from the power of sin. I've come to set you free from the power of death. I've come to set you free from the powers of the devil. The good news is for us. Do you remember the day you first heard the good news? Do you remember the day when you first said, wait a minute, there's something in that for me? In Acts chapter 11, Peter is talking, telling what had gone on in an earlier chapter in his ministry, how that he had prayed for a group of folks and the Holy Spirit had fallen on them. And when he recounts it, he says, I was over there at Cornelius' house, and I prayed for them, and the Holy Spirit fell on them like he did on us at the beginning. And who was I to withstand God? We today are believers in Jesus Christ. Our names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life with the promise and the certainty of a home in heaven because Jesus was sent to all. The good news is not good news when it confronts our preconceived ideas and we strongly hold on to them in the face of all that is evidence to the contrary. But to those, as many as those who believe, the Bible says, he gave them the power to become the children of God. And here we are. And we look back over this to events and to societies that was unfamiliar to us. But the message that I bring to you this morning is a reminder of who you are in Jesus Christ, that he has given to us freely eternal life. We're written in the book of life. Our name is written down. Rejoice in that, my sisters. Rejoice in that, my brothers. And if there's a need, if there's a thought, if there's a question, trust as much as you know about yourself to as much as you know about Jesus, and leave the rest up to Him. That's good news for whosoever will. That's good news.